Waya bavama Namanganyoro Dada tasala Kaga hashaja Eo 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 Ae I o u Waya bavama Namanganyoro Dada tasala Kaga hashaja Eo Eo
Once upon a time, I used to kick it in Zima. Used to eat the bagu off the tree. When I pulled up to Kakuma, put up with the boda boda. If I coulda coulda thrown it back, I woulda woulda had the same crew from the jump. Margaret, where you at with the bump? Had a lot of fun with the one.
Anaderu maji maji, giddy giddy maji maji. Can you take me to the party? I don't wanna hear my heartbeat. I don't wanna hear you stop me. I don't wanna see you stop me. Just wanna let you know you
A-R.
You know you
A-R.
Just wanna let you know you
A-R.
Anaderu maji maji, giddy giddy maji maji. Can you take me to the party? I don't wanna hear my heartbeat. I don't wanna hear you stop me. I don't wanna see you stop me.
I'm in the studio with my friend Shubat. How are you, brother?
Yeah, I'm good, man. You?
Good, good. And yeah. We are fortunate to have Acho Aga Apollo.
Hello.
And everyone really knows her as Pookie, I think, right?
Yes.
Everyone knows you as Pookie.
Yeah.
And but thank you for joining us today. So Acho, Pookie, where does Pookie come from?
Pookie comes from Facebook, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah. I did like a quiz. Yeah. It was like, what's your hood name?
Yeah.
And then I just answered a whole bunch of questions.
Yeah.
And then in the end, I got Pookie. So then I changed my Facebook name.
Yeah.
And then I changed it back like a week later, but the name just stuck. Like, people just didn't stop calling me it.
When was that?
Was that
before you started performing or?
Before I even moved to Melbourne. Like,
oh, wow.
Probably like 13, 14 years ago.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you were born in Nairobi, in Kenya.
Yes.
But is your, obviously with your name, I'm assuming your family's from Sudan?
Yeah, West Sudanese.
Yeah, so like Juba or?
Well, we're actually Boer.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we're from Malakal,
mm-hmm.
which is like a village, not yeah. in Juba.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Usually Juba people are Equatorians.
Okay, yeah.
They're not Dinka.
I got you, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you are Dinka.
Yeah.
And one of your albums is called Dinka.
Yeah.
But before we start talking about your album, let's talk about, you know, when you moved. I think you moved to Australia when you were 7.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And do you remember all of that? All of that moving?
The commotion.
Coming to, did you come to Perth or
yeah.
straight to Perth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I absolutely remember all of it.
Yeah.
It's like,
wow.
You know.
Yeah.
When like a lot in my life changed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I tried cheese on the flight the first time.
So Pookie's here telling us.
It was horrible. I threw up.
She says there's no cheese in Nairobi. I refuse to
That's
believe
not
that.
Not what I said. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's cheese somewhere, but it wasn't part of our daily
of diet.
Meal.
Yeah. And so you moved to Perth, and this is obviously what, you in grade one or something, grade two?
Yeah.
At this point.
So we moved here in like September.
Yeah.
So I did like grade one for like, I don't know, just that last end of the year. And
yeah,
then
yeah.
Next year, straight into grade two.
Yeah.
And how was that compared to, I don't know,
in
Western
Africa?
Maybe? Yeah.
In Kenya, I was in school as well. So coming to Australia and starting year one, it was kind of like, it was pretty easy for me. Like, I'm sure you guys all know, like,
yeah.
Back home, like, we're kind of
yeah.
ahead, you know, when it
yeah.
comes to the curriculum and stuff. So
Ouch.
I come here, well, it is what it is. I come here and they're trying to teach me how to spell words like the.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, okay, Sure.
Yeah.
Whatever. Let's do it.
But you say you are ahead in Africa, but people don't think like this.
They don't think like this.
They always think like, you know, yeah, big backwood and the way we are learning things, or you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. What's that? Like, what I've thought about that. And I've only thought about it when and it's mostly to do with grammar. It's mostly to do with how I see people write emails or write posts on Facebook. And it's all like in kind of shorthand and there.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And it's all, I don't know if it goes like any deeper than that.
Oh, it definitely does. when it comes to mathematics, like, you know, the stuff they're teaching year one.
Yeah.
Is like, for me, I feel like the age I came to Australia, I was probably at like a year five level mathematics.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So coming here and now they're trying to teach me 2 + 2. Just like, I felt like it was a waste of my time a little bit.
Mm.
You know, as a 7-year-old, I was just like, okay, I'm just going to do this homework to do it. But I don't feel like I'm gaining anything out of this.
Were you pushed forward or was it kind of like just put up with it?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Here we are.
Yeah, and then obviously grew up in Perth, and then the music thing, when did that start for you?
It didn't start until I moved to Melbourne in 2014.
So you did not make any music before then?
Oh, okay, well, I did.
Yeah. Yeah.
So growing up, we have quite a big South Sudanese community here.
Yeah.
And growing up, through my adolescent years, I kind of got into a bit of trouble, like, in our community. We had, like, cliques and stuff, like, me and my best friends, and then, like, there'd be other groups. And, like, most of the people in the other group were, like, my cousins, too.
Mm-mm-mm.
But we'd have, like, beef. And one time I wrote, like, a full diss track to that Lean Back by Fat Joe, instrumental to that.
Yeah, like rapping to it.
Yeah. Fully dissed everybody
on
that track. I don't know how old I was, but that was my first taste of music. And that was just a joke. That was like because we're trolling.
So where can we find this?
You cannot. I'm made sure of that. You will not be finding it. I refuse.
Oh, okay.
If you find it, I will definitely dab you up.
The girls pray for it. They on a mission to be the new addition, to get in the positions. Erate your doze out. Yeah, that wicked vision. CC, please tell her quit bitching. CC, please tell her quit snitching. I'm a chocolate eating chocolate. Me and the other others is separate. Me as the other others, I devastate. In it, the brother cutters, we love to hate. Ooh. I make you wanna stutter in your thoughts too. Realize what I am like a breakthrough. How I'm so fresh, fresh to death. Must be the flesh.
And then fast forward, you move to Melbourne and you start taking the music thing seriously. Mm-hmm. You got on to studying sound engineering as well, right?
Yes. So when I moved to Melbourne, I actually was studying architecture.
Okay, gotcha.
So I went there studying architecture. Mm-hmm. Then I was like, I don't see this for me. Yeah. Like, if I fast forward 20, 30 years, I don't really see myself in an office designing buildings or houses. Like, I was bored with the idea. Yeah. So I actually dropped out of uni without telling my parents for like a year-ish and a bit.
Mm.
And I was just like pretending to go to school.
This was like how far into your course?
This is like 2014 to like mid-2016.
I get you, yeah.
Yeah, so like, how far into the course? Six months into the course.
I see, okay. Yeah.
And during that time, I like found like poets and like artists and stuff. Like, I was kind of hanging around that kind of crew.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a whole bunch of black people that were expressing themselves, basically.
Mm.
And through that, I found poetry.
Mm.
And with poetry, I was also working. I used to be a customer service person at Target.
Yeah, I can see it.
You can see it. so, like, after work, I'd come home and just play on my laptop, and I found GarageBand.
Yeah.
And I would, like, record myself doing my poetry. Mm-hmm. I was like, I can actually add some sound to this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was my introduction to production.
Mm-hmm.
So, 2017, I went to... studying sound engineering.
I think you skipped something in the middle. So the part where you actually tell your parents that you dropped out and then
that
started.
Hasn't happened yet. They think I'm still going to architecture school.
but architecture is obviously you know, design. You did it for about 6 months. Mm-hmm. You, like, when I look at like the stuff that you put out, whether it's like visuals, the photos, the all of that stuff, that I find it so like visually amazing, creative. Is that something that you picked up from that sort of creative industry?
Well, I did architecture because it was the closest thing to what I was already into, which was visual art.
Like, okay, gotcha.
In high school, back here in Perth, I was like painting, drawing, and all that kind of stuff.
You still paint, by the way.
I still paint.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like the closest thing that I felt worked for me, in a sense of like, my parents are going to be cool
happy
with this. You know, it's professional enough, but I still get to be creative.
Yeah.
But that wasn't satisfying because I'm still compromising.
Of course.
But yeah, that's why I chose that field, because I was like, okay, I can still draw.
And so when you started, I guess it sounds like there was a, you know, the basis of your entry into music was like rapping, well, poetry, but then rapping.
Yeah.
Why that?
I've always listened to music since I was a kid, since Kenya, to be honest. Like, my
like
brother,
rap particularly, or
yes, and all kinds of music.
Yeah.
But like, I think definitely rap is what appealed to me the most.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So ever since I was a little kid, now you'd always find me like rapping along, singing along to whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I kind of like developed the phonetics to like be able to rap already without realizing.
Gotcha, yeah.
So yeah, when I started doing poetry and rapping, like, it kind of just felt natural.
Yeah.
And what was the artist who inspired you to be like a rapper, like, I don't know?
Missy Elliott.
Yeah, okay.
Oh man,
yeah.
Missy.
Yeah, good one.
Yeah.
Missy, I feel like Missy doesn't get like enough respect.
Yeah.
100%.
Like, in, like, it, not just in her rapping, but like, again, the visuals that she brought to like hip hop
and all the new vibe she bring around, you know, all the
influence,
and a bit like a completely different, a bit like extravagant things, you know.
Yeah.
So you know all that thing we didn't have seen before. It was like, wow, you know, this image coming really in front of the screen, you're like, wow, you know, she's like,
Hype Williams videos.
Yeah.
No, change the game for real.
And so 2019, Pookie and the Kevins.
Pookie and the Kevins.
Yeah.
Yes.
How did that?
Okay.
Yeah.
So when I was studying sound engineering, that's how I met all of them.
Okay, got
you. We met at uni.
Yeah.
And so while I was doing this, I was also doing a course that was teaching like music business, songwriting, performance, all that kind of stuff. So they kind of knew that there was a girl at the uni that was like a rapper.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
And they were music students. They were like doing their, I don't know, their degree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Being musicians, like instrumentalists.
What do you mean?
Whatever they call it.
You've got a little smile on the back. What do you mean? Like,
because it's, I don't know, it's like, it's weird. It's always, there's always been that kind of separation.
Yeah.
Where it's like people who are like training to be musicians.
Yeah.
As opposed to the rapper. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think there's like a, there's, it's easy for someone to feel a little bit insignificant sometimes in that sense, because it's like, no, I actually don't know the, you know, what is it, the chord chart or whatever, like can't even give you the right words for whatever they're
for you there's no chord, it's like
there's no chord.
It's coming from your
technicality.
So they had their exams coming up, and one of them asked me to perform with them because they wanted to do like a Crazy in Love by Beyonce rendition. And so basically their task is to conduct this whole thing. And this was the saxophonist. This is the guy who ended up being my saxophonist, Aiden. And he put together like a whole wind section. We had trumpets and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was crazy. He had like a whole bunch of sections, and then me doing Jay-Z's part, because I don't sing. I was rapping.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And he had a singer doing Beyonce's part.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I ever like performed with a band. It was like also super exhilarating for me. And it was just, it was such a really, really fun time. Following year, like 2019 came, because this happened in 2018.
I got you,
2019 starts, and I'm like, you know what? I want to like change up my whole live performance thing, because up until then, it just had just been me and a DJ, or any friend that I could be like, hey, push the button.
This time.
I was like, hey, I want to like, you know, step it up a little bit, and I think that could be cool to just throw myself in there. So I asked them, and they were already a band. They were a band called Bird Snake.
Okay.
So I was like, hey, do you guys want to like play with me? And like, you know, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Like, hell yeah. And then we had like our first show a month later.
Yeah.
So I played them a bunch of my demos. I'd been like producing during that time. Played them a bunch of my demos, and we like recreated all my music in a live setting. And then like, a month later, we like did this thing at the Evelyn in Melbourne, supporting one of our friends, Messy Mammals, and it was like the greatest fucking feeling ever.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
It was really nice. Was that one of your first ones, like as a band?
Yes.
Very
first. I remember it. We all wore white.
Damn.
Yeah. We're like, there's like six of us, and we're cramped on this like tiny stage, and still just like enjoyed it so much. And then after that, I was like, hey, do you guys like want to like do this? And we're like,
yeah.
And then for the rest of the year, we were like playing every gig, every week, every other week.
Oh wow.
And we just got really, really tight. So like, I don't know, 2020 was gonna be our year. And then, you know, the thing happened.
Of course.
It happened, and it just stopped it.
Are you guys planning to do more stuff together? Is that
So after COVID, we got back together and put the album together, Flick, my last album. And then I realized that I'd actually also gone so far from my initial goal,
which
was production and rapping.
Okay.
And even though like having a band was amazing, I was going so far into that jazz world. And I was like, no, I actually want to come back to being a hip hop artist. So I've kind of like recalibrated myself.
But you can still do that with the band.
Of course.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful having that. Like, I play with some of them sometimes if I need a band. We're doing this festival. Let's go. But like, I think I like that freedom of being able to do that, or having a DJ, or maybe I just want to have a DJ and a bass player. You know what I mean? Like having the options to like create whatever sound it is that I think is going to suit that.
How important was being in that environment, I guess, for you? You know, because I think of, you didn't move to Melbourne for the music, but when you got there, you were suddenly surrounded by all this art and all these musicians and creativity. And was that the push that you needed to, like,
absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I learned so much. I think we learned a lot from each other. Like, I think even just something as simple as being able to put a show together, like, I think when you get to do that so often with other people, you have all these ideas coming at you, like, you kind of absorb that, you know? So, yeah, I think, like, having that band definitely, like, had a huge impact on, like, just even being able to be independent, you know? Also, like, learning a lot of, like, language. In terms of, I work with any other musician, I can, like, easily translate what it is that I'm trying to put across, where before that I would be like, can you do that thing? Like, how do you, like,
So you know? you've got more term now to use when you want to do something.
Absolutely.
I'm going to ask you a question so there was obviously in Melbourne, this is like pre-pandemic, I was in Melbourne for, I don't know, like a few days or whatever. I got to the airport and then got a taxi to the city, and the taxi driver was like, and I walk in a taxi, I got a backpack, I didn't have a hoodie on, but sit in the back, and the taxi driver, who was not, like, I can't remember, he was like Middle Eastern or something, and then he started warning me about, oh brother, just be careful when you're in the city, like, if you see, like, like, black people with a hoodie and a backpack, probably not safe.
Yeah.
And that was the time, though, because there was all that stuff going on in Melbourne with, like, oh, Sudanese gangs and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, when he said this to me, obviously, I was like, oh, bro, I think you're describing me, but...
I have nothing to be afraid of.
But, like, my question, though, is, like, you know, you obviously being... you've you know, Sudanese, like, heritage. How was that for you? Like, how was, like, did that affect you?
100%.
Like, in the circles that you were in? Yeah.
Not necessarily in the circles I was in.
Yeah.
But it just affected my, like, day to day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, when that stuff first started, I was still working at Target. And I think I would receive a lot of, like, bullshit from, like, you know, customers and all that kind of stuff. I remember this one specific day, these two guys walk into the store and they're, like, drunk off their faces. So they're causing a scene. And, like, everything, it's not that it's fine, but, like, they just, it's just two people causing a scene. But as soon as I made eye contact and locked eye contact with one of them, it's almost like he got embarrassed that, like, I was seeing him like that. And so first thing he says, like, oh, Apex is working at Target now.
Oh my God.
Oh.
You know? And it's like he's, all his attention got turned on to me, and it's like, yeah, that kind of stuff was really just messed up. And I don't feel like I ever really got anything from the circles that I was running in, but just like being out wasn't really, it didn't feel safe anymore. Going out to parties, like, there's a lot of, like, South Sudanese community clubs as well in Melbourne, and it would just, it'd be weird to go out and, like, you'd find, like, trucks of, like, police cars just standing there. Nothing's happened yet, but
they're just waiting for
they're
us.
Waiting, yeah. They're preempting, they're also provoking. So, like, I just, yeah, I didn't really feel like I was free.
They trying to stop me. I can't believe it. They trying to stop me. Fuckers, they cheating. They tryna stop me. They really tryna stop me, but I'm busy snatching edges. They tryna stop me. I can't believe it. They tryna stop me. Fuckers, they cheating. They tryna stop me. They really tryna stop me, but I'm busy snatching edges. You know I'm self-made.
baby. Ain't no reason to hate, baby. Self-made ladies is the only way. Maybe I could give you some tips. Some of my source you could sip, but please make sure you don't slip. I'm known to drip all about me and my bugs. Me and my bucks, and if you look close, see your bitch don't got no fucks. Me and my bucks, honey, you a sitting duck. So when I let it rain, you should try to maintain. These lyrical consequences brought up upon you by you, and they burn. But the faith that you earn, I think somebody got ahead of they self. I think somebody really like catching them L's. They tryna hit a nigga with some obstacles. They don't know what to hop, make it wet like popsicles. What's wrong, baby? You was popping all that good shit. Admit it. Right, I'm the business. Don't try to stop me when I pull up with the demons. Don't try to stop me when you no longer a freeman. Don't try to stop me when I'm coming at your neck. Please don't try to stop me when I'm having and you're dreaming. Don't try to stop me when I pull up with the demons. Don't try to stop me when you no longer a freeman. Don't try to stop me when I'm coming at your neck. Please don't try to stop me when I'm having and you're dreaming. They try to stop me. But I'm busy snatching edges.
Let's talk about your production, which I like what I've heard. I spent some time listening to your music last night as well, and I kind of felt bad. I was like, oh man, I wish I knew about all this earlier. But I found the production to be like so good.
Oh.
Like so good, man.
Thank you.
And just your, like, as far as like your rapping, you know, the timing, the delivery, the cadence, like it's all, yeah, it's all like really, really top quality. Can you talk to us about how you developed that, you know, from your diss track to like, you know, to what we hear now, like to the kind of quality music that we hear from you now. And it also seems to me like, you know, like it's not, I feel like people take longer to get to that point. Just based on what you said, it doesn't seem like it took you that long.
Thank you. I think a huge part of my production comes from like our traditional dance.
Mm.
So we're Dinka, we're the ones who like jump up and down,
yep,
like drums and stuff.
Yeah.
And there's so just like
strong knees.
I got strong knees, I got strong calves, like I got stamina.
Not genuine.
Yeah, and even though it seems so simple, like you're just jumping up and down, like there is a technique to it. Mm. There's a way, like you can tell when someone doesn't know how to dance. In our community, like you can be like, they're not doing it right.
Yeah.
So I think that and just dancing in general, I've always been a dancer too, like. Mm. yeah, I think rhythm for me when I'm producing is a huge thing. Like, I want to be able to dance to this, even if it's like a chill song. Like, I want to be able to like feel it in my body. So I think, yeah, that's always been like a driving force for me when I'm producing. It's like, I like, how does it make me feel movement wise? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to like describe it to you, but yeah. I do listen to a lot of music, a lot of different music too. I listen to rock music. I listen to heavy
what were
metal.
You listening to like yesterday and today?
Well, recently I've been listening to a lot of Afrobeats, and I'm a piano. Yeah, that's been my go-to that keeps me calm.
Yeah. Cool.
And even me do like, I don't know, maybe do some. Mix with I'm a piano rapping things or
absolutely yeah. I'll try to find a way to patent it.
Cool. That would be nice.
I want to do it, but I'm like, I want to do it right. How do we like, you know?
And your voice, because listen, not yesterday, but listen, long time ago, and you've got a really beautiful voice, and the way you rap is like really chill, and you don't like really scream, you know. To some rapper, they just like, you know. I can't see you've got like a professional way. Where did you get that?
I'm shy.
Oh, you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a shy person. I think doing music has definitely brought me out of my shyness.
Yeah.
But I'm a shy person, so like screaming and all that kind of stuff is not. Yeah. I don't feel comfortable doing that.
Yeah.
So I've kind of had to learn to like master my calm voice.
Yeah.
You know, and when I was studying, my performance teacher was Enfa. I don't know if you guys know Enfa from Cool Out Sun in Melbourne.
Yeah.
He taught me a lot about like mic control and controlling your breathing and all that kind of stuff. So it's also like a technical thing as well as like my natural voice, like marrying those two things together.
Okay. Yeah. But I saw you doing some drawing as well, and quality, good drawing. That is natural, something from of you? Or
yeah.
Yeah.
I started drawing when I was 12.
Okay.
Yeah. I was living in Alexander Heights, and like I had this friend, like a neighbor friend, and we would just like, I'd go over or she'd come over and we'd just draw cartoons. And we had this like collection called Funky Town, and it was like little people with massive heads and little bodies.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So that's where it started. And then I took up visual art when I was in high school.
Yeah.
So I don't know, I love drawing. It's a nice way to
That is the way you maybe calm down after a night or after a big session of the studio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Okay.
So, can we talk about your albums now?
Let's go.
Dinka
girl. I mean, yes, I am Dinka.
Yeah.
But I think I named it that also to let other Dinka girls know that they can do whatever they want to do.
Mm.
You know? Mm. I think it was just like a moment of like, I have to be proud about where I come from and like give that energy
and obviously like some of the, you know, like some of the songs, I think some of the titles of the songs are even in, you know, the language. Do you speak Dinka?
I do.
Yeah.
I'm very lucky to be able to still speak Dinka,
because like, you moved here when you were seven. So
7 years
you
old.
So
me, like, we used to go to church. There's a South Sudanese church. And when we were kids, like, all the kids in the church would be making way too much noise, so they'd just wrangle us up and take us to like another room. And like there'd be this guy who would teach us how to read and write Dinka.
It was
amazing. So like that's why I've been able to like retain my language.
And so when was that album? That was your first one, was it? Dinka Girl.
That came out 2021.
And then but Flick was also in 2020. Is that right?
I It was.
Yeah.
Huh.
So two. It was, so both of them were the same year.
They were. Okay. Yeah. So like.
So during the pandemic, you were like
writing,
working overtime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I think I was working overtime with Dinka Girl.
Yeah.
I developed that through 2020.
Mm-mm-mm.
And yeah, it came out 2021, and then I was very fortunate to get a grant in 2021 to complete my studio album Flick. And that was much easier. It was a lot of hard work, but it was much easier in terms of like conception, because it was a lot of music we'd already been playing with the Kevins in 2019. So all we had to do was like, you know, regroup and like, how do we want to play these songs that we've been playing all this time? You know?
So, but you made your album in Perth for you when you were in Melbourne?
In Melbourne.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So in Perth, nothing really happened here.
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Nothing until yet.
Yeah. I came back and I was like, okay, cool. I'm just going to like keep continuing. And then I come back here and it's like, who are you? So I'm like, aww. I'm starting from scratch in Perth, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
How's that to starting from scratch, from, you know, because you were there in Melbourne, everything going well, because the vibe on the music culture is different and bigger than here.
Yeah.
So how's that? The work is double or?
Yeah. I mean, it's getting better now.
Yeah.
But I think it was getting a bit daunting, like the last couple of months, because I just felt like I didn't know anyone. I knew a few people, but like I didn't really know how to like get my foot in the door.
Yeah, yeah.
But now I think I'm slowly kind of like building myself up, which is it's exciting. I think I'm building myself up a little bit more in the DJ world.
Yeah.
But that's fine. It doesn't really matter.
You could do that as well.
You do DJing as well.
Yes.
Wow, you've got many skills in your pocket.
Super.
Oh, wow. Okay. Super. And do you think that the fact you not struggled, but it's a bit difficult here, is because missing people or community, or because Melbourne is more cosmopolitan, you know, we've got people from different area and different country? And
I think with Melbourne, it was hard, but it was a bit easier because there's just so much opportunity anyway. You know what I mean? You don't get this opportunity, you can always go that way. Like there's so many options. But it became easy for me over time because I did develop my name. I kind of had a, you know, I have a monopoly or whatever you want to call it over there.
Yeah.
So I was at a point where I could kind of just like
pick and choose
and like a lot of doors were already open for me. So when I come to Perth and when no one knows who I am, it's kind of jarring,
because
it's like I have to put the diva away.
Yeah,
I'm like, they don't know who I am. I can't just bust through the doors. Like it doesn't work like that here. So it's been a humbling experience, basically.
But also like a peaceful one by the sounds of it, because you were saying, like, we were having a conversation earlier and you were saying like you know you were grateful that you can get to chill a little bit and concentrate on you and like
Absolutely.
Are you drawing a bit more? Not as much as I'd like,
to be honest. Yeah. Not as much as I'd like. Yeah. I go through like a lot of drawing hiatuses.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then this one day it comes and I'm like,
That's just with drawing, but not anything else creatively?
More with drawing, but sometimes it happens with music too.
Yeah.
And when that happens, I've learned to just let go and be like, okay, maybe it's just time for me to like live a little bit.
Spend
time with my friends, family, and all that stuff. And just like I try to not force it.
As soon as
I'm like, I don't feel creative, but I'm like forcing myself to like stay in the studio, that's when I end up making trash. It's not gonna sound good.
when you chill and like you kick your feet up, what do you like to do?
I like to swim.
Yeah.
I like watching stuff.
Yeah. I like watching
TV shows. Thrillers, movies. Yeah. I like to go to the movies. Like I love taking myself out on movie dates.
Yeah.
Like literally by myself.
Yeah.
I love it. It's the best.
Yeah.
What else do I like to do? I like to knit.
Knit?
Yeah.
Really?
It's another one that like everyone gets confused when I say that. I'm like, I like knitting.
Yeah.
It's so therapeutic.
Yeah.
I like to braid my own hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like a lot of relaxing stuff. Maybe find like a nice river or park to go sit at and relax.
There's lots of nice parks here.
Yeah. I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah. And then, what you got? You're awfully quiet, but.
Yeah. So I don't know. Are you preparing something at this moment? Are you a project soon? Or
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I am.
What is it? No. DJing or?
Sorry.
Rapping. DJing or rapping?
Rapping.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Rapping. I've recently tapped into the drill, grime world.
Yeah.
2 years ago was my last project, so I don't know, it's exciting, but I'm also like, damn, it's work. I got used to chilling. Really? Yeah, I've been living my life. I've been relaxing, you know. I've had family stuff come up, so I've kind of just been like in life world.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I'm reintroducing myself to
But I mean, I know now, like, things are like single driven. Like, I think it's, even though your last album was 2 years ago, I think the quality of the music that you put out, I think you can afford to chill for 2 years.
Thank you. I like to think that as well. But it's so hard sometimes to you know,
like, as far as relevance, or
It's hard to like not get stressed out about not putting stuff out all the time, especially when you see your peers just dropping single after single after single. You can start to feel like you're not doing anything. But then it's like, it's a double-edged sword, because it's like, if I just start dropping singles because I'm like racing people, then I'm not dropping quality. Back to the trash. So then it's like, I'm not even doing this music for myself anymore. I don't know. It's like a anxiety management sport.
And any gigs or DJ sets lined up for Perth? It'd be nice if you could do a set for us.
Hey.
Hey.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
True.
Today? True.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
whenever
you're ready,
true.
Think about it, and like, make it whatever you want, like whatever you want.
Cool.
I mean, besides the fact that you, you had to humble yourself, what do you think of the scene? Like, you know, like, since you left and when you came back, like, improvements, venues, you know, things that are happening and so on. What do you think? Honestly,
I think it's cool.
Yeah,
I think it's really cool.
It's really improved, hasn't it?
It has. None of this was here when I left.
It's
very different, and it's different from Melbourne too. In a sense of, like, in Melbourne, every space is kind of like occupied by the same type of people.
Yeah,
where here you have so many different pockets. You have the Afro, like, I'm a piano community.
Yeah,
but then you have the queer community that's doing like Bailey funk, like that kind of stuff. Then you have the African community that's doing like dance hall nights, or like there's like Kenyan nights as well. There's so many different, everybody's kind of got a space to do whatever they want, and you have the space to like go within each space and enjoy whatever it is.
I think that it's great that, as far as, like, you know, with those communities and the venues here in Perth, I think it's all like interchangeable, where, you know, tonight there might be like a rock band, and then next week it's like a Kenyan vibe, and but all in the same space, which is pretty cool.
And it's good because they help people to do all that things around. You know, they give, say, okay, let's do it.
And it introduces like a different audience to
You know,
something that they might not be open to.
One thing I can say, it's been a pleasant change, is the amount of black people I see when I go out. Like, well, depending on the event, but like, if it's like a, like, I don't know, any event that's like just of interest to black people, Africans, like, the way they show out is pretty amazing. In Melbourne, cool. you kind of rarely see that. Even if it's like a black artist that comes to perform or whatever, it's not really going, you're not going to see black people everywhere you turn.
Why is that important to you? Well, why do you, you know, why is that nice to see for you?
Well, I mean, as a black person, like, I feel
as an artist.
As an artist, I think it's more enriching to my creativity to be around black people. You know, be around people who understand like the nuances of like what I'm even like trying to put out there. You know what I mean? Like if I'm playing something, like last weekend I started playing I'm a piano, and like it's like four guys in the back like I'm a piano. Like they got it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead of like someone who might enjoy the music but they don't actually understand it. They're just gonna dance to it. Like there's a different you feel actually connected.
Need to say more.
Yeah, it's look, it's been a super great chat. But you still did not tell us when you are playing next. We are going to look forward to your album, but we want to come to your gig. So, and we want everyone that's listening to come and support you so that you can feel that.
Well, I don't have anything planned yet.
Yeah.
But I've been speaking with my manager, and when we do drop this next project, we were considering touring, and we're you know, debating on whether touring, adding Perth to the list, is going to be
I think
I want to as well. I think it'll be cool. So yeah, I think that's something that's like coming.
It's looming. So all that information would be on
your social media.
Yeah, probably best to follow my Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the real _ Pookie.
And like I encourage everyone to listen to both albums. Remember, tell us what you think, but I know you'll love them. I love both of them. I haven't thoroughly listened to both of them, and I'm definitely going to go back and listen some more. We will play a few songs right after this chat as well. So hear them and tell us what you think.
Yeah, and stay tuned on Kaya Radio Show. Thank Pookie to be here.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Yeah.
And we'll wait for that DJ set as well.
Yeah, I got you. I'll send you a message.
Thank you guys. You enjoy your day.
Yes.
I cover my two, I'm ready to roll.
Cover my two, I'm ready to roll.
At about three, I switch it up.
At about three, I switch it up.
I peep over the lens, make you lose control.
Peep over the lens, make you lose control.
Be aware of those who try. the fresh air.
Pushing through the rain. Pushing through the rain.
try to shake it out. I try to break it out. I try to figure it out. But still I haven't made it out. I've been thinking of a way either you can hold me, make me feel a little loving, console me. My baby sweet like a muffin. Gentle when you pop my button. Kiss it with a motherfucking passion. Gotta give it all to me, baby, no rations. Think about the way you like to grab you a handful. You don't wanna bite it if it's something you can handle. The realest one I know. Know to put it down for show. Oh my honey, honey bee. Bitter, bitter sweet memory.
Pushing through the rain when it seemed to be storming. Pushing through the rain even when the clouds are black. Now that I don't see your face in the morning. I'm pushing through the rain. Pushing through the rain when it seemed to be storming. Pushing through the rain.
Boy, I'm pushing through the rain. I'm
now that I don't see your face.
Pushing through the rain. I'm
pushing through the rain.
Now I gotta push through the rain. Sometimes I push to the pain. Nothing on my heart but a stain. Boy, you sweet like bitter sugarcane. Oh my honey, honey bee. Why can't you see? Vision for you to rain on me. Kiss it with a motherfucking passion. My baby never do it for the fashion. Only wanna give satisfaction. Damn right I reminisce on that bliss. Reminisce.
Reminisce. Never wanna do it with a fashion. My baby wanna get satisfied.